So we'll finish up now, and next week we'll go back to the Gemara, and the vacation's over. But let's finish what Rabbi Soloveitchik had to say about Nesiat Kapayim. Remember last time? Well, let's look at this Rambam that I copied here, which he makes reference to. The Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah of Nesiat Kapayim. There are a few cases where the Rambam bundled more than one halacha together in one category. For example, Tefillah Mezuzah, Chanukah and Purim, Ma'od, Shofar Sukkah V'Lulav. That he, you know, there must be, you know, we know the Rambam spent a great deal of energy in the organization, you know, almost like in the Dewey Decimal System of Halakha. You know, there's a hierarchy of knowledge, and the organization of the Mishnah Torah itself is a masterpiece, even before he started putting content onto that skeleton of the frame. But Tefillah and Birkat Kohanim are together in the same subsection of Sefer Ava. So in Perek Yudala, the Rambam mentions the following halachot. Halacha Gimel. Ketzad hi nesiat kapayim, bigvulin be'et shiagia shliach tzibur la'avodah, kishi yomar etzei, kol ha-kohanim ha-omdim be'vet ha-kneset ne'ekarin mimkoman, ve'holchin ve'olin le'duchan, ve'omdim sham pneihem le'hechal, v'achureyem klapei ha'am. That is outside of the Mikdash, in our shul. During the Chazaras Hashatz, when the Shliach Tzibur gets up to Ritzei, the Kohanim go up to the Bima, go up to the Dukhan, and they remain facing towards the Aron with their backsides to the audience. This is the this we mentioned this last week. He read this, he quoted this last week. Ve'etzbotehem kfufot letoch kapehem. And their fingers should be folded or bent or right? They should almost have like a clenched, not exactly a clenched fist like this, but their fingers should be. I asked one of the Kohanim on Shabbos, like what, and we never see this, you know, because it's under the talus. But I asked him what the, like what's the posture of his fingers when he's saying the bracha. So he said they're bent, but he told me that he bends it with his palms up like this, not down, the way it seems to imply. I asked him, why does he do that? He said, because that's how his father did it. Yeah, which is the most Jewish answer of all. But I think that the point is that it should be that they're down like this.
Does he say here somewhere that it's down?
That's what I'm saying.
Kfufot letoch kapehem.
Yeah, so it could be. Ad sheyashlim shaliach tzibur ha-hoda'a u'machzir in pneihem klapei ha'am u'foshtim etzbotehem. Right? In other words, because he never tells you to turn the hand over. In other words, his hands are like this, right? Bent inward, facing down, and then you just stretch out the hands. It's not this motion. And then you lift your hands. They lift their hands up to their shoulder height. Umatchilim yivarecho. B'shlech tzibur makrei otam mila v'hem onim shneemar emor lahem ad shiomar ukeshe mashlimin pasuk rishon kolam onim omen.
Glaring omissions here. One is washing the hands, and the two is making a bracha.
Washing their hands is. Does he mention it earlier? I'm not sure. V'chozeh shliach tzibur makre otam pasuk sheni onim amein v'chein pasuk shlishi halacha dalet. Kishiyashlimu akohanim shlosha pasukim matchil shliach tzibur bebirkat bebracha achrona shel tefila shehi sim shalom. The Kohanim machzirim pneim klapei hakodesh. They turn back around. The kofzim etzbotehim. Right, they retract their hands. The omdin sham beduchan ad shigmor bracha lechozulim. And then skipping to halacha vav, ein akohanim rishayin lachzir pneim min hatzibur ad shiatchil shlech tzibur sim shalom. ואין הכהנים רשאים לעקור ממקומן עד שיגמור שליח ציבור שים שלום. ואין רשאים לקוף קשרי אצבעותיהם עד שיחזירו פניהם מן הציבור. In other words, the hands have to be out until they turn around.
I mean, a coin who was once very publicly violated this particular he was in America and he was an Israeli and he was on the cog and he was just like, it's too much the whole nine. He was like, and he just went shalom and he turned around.
ומתקנות עזרא שלא יעלו הכהנים לדוכן בסנדליהם אלא עומדים יחפים. הלכה זין, כשיהיו הכהנים מברכים את העם, לא יביטו בעם ולא יסיחו דעתם, אלא יהיו עיניהם כנגד הארץ, כעומד בתפילה. ואין אדם רשאי להסתכל בפני הכהנים בשעה שהן מברכים את העם, כדי שלא יסיחו דעתם. Right, so the Rambam brings this idea. We mentioned this earlier in our Gemara, the Tosfot over there, that why don't you look at the Kohanim? So it's not because you go blind, but it has to. But why does the Rambam say so? Yeah, because they didn't have Kavana. Like, it'll be distracting. You know, yesterday, not yesterday, Sunday was the Rambam's 813th Yahrzeit.
Oh my goodness. And that was right by his kever.
Really? One wonders what the Rambam would think about that whole kever they built.
You don't have to wonder. He says, he doesn't do it.
Yeah, but I guess you can look on the bright side and say, well, it's probably not really. Yeah. It was the Rambam's 813th Yahrzeit site. On the Rambam's 750th Yahrzeit site, there was some event in New York. I don't know where exactly. And you're a Kenner, probably, right? 1964. No, 54. No, there's the Rambam. You know, like sometimes you see the Rambam died 1204, and sometimes it's 1205. There are various dates for the Rambam's date of death. So his yard site was Kaf Tevet, which some years comes out at the end of December and some years at the beginning of January. So in fact, the year that he died, it was the end of December. So his actual year of death is 1204. This year's Yahrzeit came out after January, so. So in 1952 there's this event for the Rambam 750th Yahrzeit site. So somebody said to the Rav, you know, there's this event, you want to go? So he said, it never occurred to me that the Rambam was dead. You have kavana to hear the bracha, but that's the whole point. Now the Rav says here, we're on page Resh Kaf Bet, in the last paragraph. It hadn't come up in our Gemara, but we're all aware of this. Of course, the Kohanim go up barefoot.
This is only for the time of Ezra?
No, in other words, in Beit HaMikdash, why do they go barefoot? Why do our Kohanim take off their shoes? Yeah, it's a kind of either a Zecher HaMikdash, you know, there's different types of Zecher HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. What are the two different types of Zecher HaMikdash?
I thought they didn't go because there was issues of tripping over their sandalim.
Yeah.
That's if I remember.
No, but they were barefoot. That's in a, why were the Kohanim barefoot altogether? I'm talking about now.
Like in other words, the Takana was for that reason.
Time of Ezra, there was a Beit HaMikdash.
But this is talking about Begvulin outside of Beit HaMikdash.
In the time of Ezra, outside the Mikdash, they didn't do Berachat Kohanim.
Yeah. Why? Why didn't they?
Because they didn't do Mikdash.
Maybe they also did it in the Gvulin.
Maybe, did they?
Yeah. Oh. Presumably, even in, after Churban Bayit Rishon. Even in time of Bayit Rishon, but certainly in time of Bayit Sheni, right? There was tefillah, which more or less looked like what we know as tefillah. And the tefillah in all of Bata Knesset was either in place of or parallel to the Avodat Beit HaMikdash. So it could be that people that they were also duchening outside of Beit HaMikdash, even when it was going on there. Anyway, so here the Rav says, Bebiur Anyan, Nir'eh, Dehine, Behezber Ha'isur Lehistakel Al HaKohanim B'shash Shehein Omdin Al Duchan Mevarchin Al Yisrael Nimek Rashi. That's, but it's a similar, oh, we saw this Rashi in Chagiga. Shehashchina Shoral Kishrei Etzbotehim. When they're going full spock, so the Shechina is resting on their fingers, and that's why you shouldn't look. Umein se hisbir edina mishnah shebemikdash ayu kohanim nosin et kapeim lemala miroshein. So in Beit HaMikdash they would lift their hands up, because in Beit HaMikdash the Shechina, that's where the Shechina was there, and I guess they wanted the Shechina to, I don't know, what do you figure? To get a good view, right? To be most apparent to those that were present. וכתב מפני שמברכין את העם בשם המפורש ושכינה למעלה מקשרי אצבעותיהם. Why do you have the Shechina on the fingers in Beit HaMikdash? Because they had Shem HaMifurash, Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey, the way it used to be pronounced. Nimtza ki pishut etzpa'ot hu chelek mahuti shel mitzvat birkat kohanim. Since the knuckles, right, are integral to the birkat kohanim, this whole business of keeping the, I mean, I compared it last week to, like when they're saying the bracha asher kitchanam emes mitzvah levarech et amo Yisrael be'ava, that their fingers are bent, it's like equivalent to having the gun in the holster, right? And when they're ready to shoot, so then they extend the fingers and they're ready to go. ונמצא כי פישוט הצבעות הוא חלק מהותי של מצוות ברכת כהנים והוא כרוך בקיום ושמו את שמי על בני ישראל. How do they fulfill this din of the Samu et Shmi, place my holy name upon the Jewish people? Pull on the trigger. What's the pulling of the trigger? Is extending the hand. Simat Hashem Perusha Hashrat Hashkina. What does it mean that they place God's name on the people? And it's through the pronouncing of the name they cause the Shekhinah to appear. And by doing that, they fulfill the commandment of Vesamu et Shmi al Bnei Yisrael. Uvechein ha-Kohanim poshtim etzbotehem rak la'achar birkat ha-mitzvah. Right? That's why it's important that they not go like this while they're saying the bracha. Why? Pretend you didn't learn ahead? What would be wrong with going like this before they start? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam.
It's shooting your gum while it's still in the holster.
Maybe. But in halachic language, that's called over la siyatan, which is a sugya that we learned a couple, two, 3 months ago. Right? What is the sugya of over la siyatan?
Before
you do the mitzvah, you say the bracha. Right? Because you don't do the mitzvah and then say the bracha. You don't do the mitzvah simultaneous to saying the bracha. Right? You say La Allah Niach Tfilin before you tighten the knot. Right? Hein al achzarat panim vehein al pishut etzbot. Asher shnehem einam ela emtzaim lahashrat hashchina. In other words, the extending of the hand into that mystical shape is what causes the fulfillment of the Birkat Kohanim. And therefore the bracha has to be recited before that. מתוך כך נמצא הכהן מברך על שלושת הקיומים. האמירה, הברכה, ופעולות השרת השכינה. What's the main element of Birkat Kohanim? Well, it's the three of them, but what sounds like it's the main? No. Hashrat Hashchina. What? Lahashrat zu yesh kimuvan zikam yucheret lemikdash. This whole business of causing the Shechina to be present amongst the Jewish people is intimately connected to what the Beit HaMikdash was all about. Tell me the Pasuk. V'asu l'mikdash v'shechanti b'tochan. V'shechanti Shechina. Asher lachein rak bo ha-kohanim nosim et yideim agabe roshehim. It's only in the Mikdash. In our world, the Kohanim raise their hands up to the shoulder height. In Beit HaMikdash, they would lift it up to their heads.
More people to see what was going on.
I don't know. Maybe. What if it was like a slow day in Beit HaMikdash? No, because the point is that what's the qualitative difference between our Birkat Kohanim and the Birkat Kohanim in Mikdash? Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei causing the Hashrat Hashchina.
Ah, so I looked at it,
and
that explains the reason
for
the hands
go up. Yeah, wait, hold on, I'll show you a place. What line are we on? Start from the beginning of the paragraph. L'hashrazu yesh kimuvan rak boa kohanim nosim et yideim al gabei roshehim. V'gam rak legabav ledat rov harishonim mishameshet nochachut shechina kenimuk leisur hestaklut b'kohanim. As according to most Rishonim, the whole business about not looking at the Kohanim is because the Shechina is there, and fill in the blank. What's the three words? Don't look, Marion. Ukimivuar b'sugya b'chigiga uvetosfot sham. Ach nireh sheyesod hashrat hashechina takef af b'gvulin. But could be that this whole business of the Shechina also applies outside of Beit HaMikdash. Tehinei istur estaklut ne'emar gam b'chutz l'mikdash. It's also also to look at the Kohanim outside of Beit HaMikdash. That's if the whole point of not looking is don't look, Marion, you'll your face will melt off like those Nazis. That's only in Beit HaMikdash. However, it's also us at the. You remember how we got onto this from the Gemara and Megillah. Gemara and Megillah is listing all those things that, you know, if you have this kind of problem with your hand, if you have that kind of problem with your hand, you can't duchen. If you have like an unusual appearance, you can't duchen because people will be tempted to look. Right, but that's true even outside of Mikdash. וכמבואר ברמב״ם, ואין אדם רשאי להסתכל בבני הכהנים, שהם מברכים, ומתכוונים לשמוע, ובבניהם. That's the Rambam we just learned. According to the Rambam, what's the problem? It's not your face melting off like the Nazis. It's kavanah.
He's saying two different things. Because otherwise, you would say if it's only issue of Hashrat Shechina, then what's the point of doing it in the first place? If you don't have Hashrat Shechina, then you can't do Samu Shmi, so you may as well not even worry about your hands at all.
No, you could do it still, but you can still do it in the force of
either Zechel Mikdash. Zechel Mikdash, then you could tell say you're not looking Mishnah Zechel Mikdash. There's no reason to separate the two.
Maybe. Or you could say there's still an independent mitzvah.
There's a mitzvah not look when there's not
an independent mitzvah. No. You could say there's an independent mitzvah, Birkat Kohanim. But, because you're still giving a bracha, but the Shechina does not manifest itself.
But you're saying there's a zika between Hashrat Shechina and not looking. So if that's the case, then even if we do any aspect of it that is related, even a zecher, then we wouldn't break the zika just because you weren't because the first half is that and you continue it. Like a lot of things we do with Zechel Mikdash, we do things and say, well, I don't know, I mean, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's halachot that we do for lulav. That's Zecher.
What's the main halacha we do Zecher Mikdash of lulav?
Take
it the extra 6 days.
But we still follow the halacha. We don't say, whatever. It doesn't matter what we're doing because it's only Zecher, so we're not going to follow the rest of the halacha. But all the halacha, everything we do the same way.
No.
Well, we there are certain things we do that way, no? There's nothing we say doesn't matter.
There are things that we're makel about because it's only the Rabbon.
But you have it.
I mean, there are psulim that we're makel about because it's only the Rabbon.
But not like a pila.
No, I'm saying.
It
breaks our kavana. It breaks our kavanah.
Okay, so I thought, we don't want to break the kavanah because it might break their kavanah. Okay, you break their kavanah, then it won't be there anymore. So it's all interconnected.
That you're receiving a bracha. He doesn't specify what kavanah it is.
I think Rabbi said the kohanim's kavanah as well.
No, as he says separately, he says the kohanim should look down on the ground, right, so that their kavanah is.
Lo yasichu da'atan.
Yeah.
But who is the antecedent of da'atan?
Velo yabitu ba'am. That's the kohanim.
Velo yasichu da'atan.
Oh.
It could be either. It's ambiguous.
No. I think it's the kohanim.
No, because then it says the ein adam rashai yistakel. Only after that it talks about the regular person.
So anyway, the point is that the Rav says, wait a second, the Gemara talks about this whole thing with the Shechina. So that shouldn't apply outside of Mikdash. But then he quotes the Rambam. And the Rambam doesn't differentiate. He says he can't look anywhere. But Hatam Ledevei Rambam, who have said Kavana. According to the Rambam, this has nothing to do with going blind from the Shechina. It has to do with this kavana. What kind of kavana? Lo chashuv, but ken chashuv, but we don't, let's just imagine it's whatever kavana you should have. Ach bokat ve'ola ha'sheila. The question bursts forth. Lama anu zkukim lekavana ve'rikuz hadat bebirkat kohanim? The Rav was mechamen to Tom's question. What kind of kavana is there? There's all types of brachot, right?
Well, this goes back to the initial day. We have to respond with the psukim, whatever. Then we're supposed to be like, you know, if we're like receiving this as a gift, we have to respond with psukim. We have a sort of awareness of what we're doing. Like if someone's giving you a gift, you're not even paying attention. It's not going to be if you already have to give it.
That's what the Gemara and Sota said. Okay. The Gemara and Sota said exactly that. But there's all types of times where we hear a bracha. We're being motzi a bracha. Somebody's adiraba. If somebody. Somebody makes kiddush. There's no halacha one way or another. But you tell me, you invite me to your house for lunch on Shabbos. You're going to make kiddush.
Deal.
You're going to make kiddush.
Don't look.
You're going to say, would you like to make your own kiddush? And I'm going to say, no. Because that's what you do. Right? That's what you do. Like, how often does it happen? Somebody says, yes, I would like to make my kiddush. One out of 100 times. Right? But so there's no halacha that you can't look at me, I can't look at you. When you are being motzi and kiddush, adirabba. There's no requirement that I do look at you. But which sounds more reasonable?
That
I should look. Now the bracha here is not the same as the bracha of kiddush. The bracha of birkat kohanim is not the same. The kohanim are not being motzi me. They are literally giving me a blessing. Instead of reciting
sense.
A blessing on my behalf.
It seems to require even
less amount of modesty. I don't know. It's
a matter of modesty.
I don't know. That's not what the Rambam is. The Rambam is not because out of modesty. It's out of kavana. Right? But and it is normally you would think that if we want to be connected...
You would think
if
the opposite, in other words.
You might plausibly imagine it. Kavana. So let's see what the Rambam has to say. Kavana amnan chashuva b'tfila. Ach bebirkat kohanim mativa. So we know about kavana and tfila. What is kavana and tfila, by the way? He says, Kavanah and Tefillah, we all understand what that is. Ha ha ha. Right? Yeah, all right. If you know what Kavanah and Tefillah is, explain it to me. But what is, what's the definition of Kavanah and Tefillah?
Knowing what you're saying.
Or?
And knowing who you're standing.
Yes.
Yeah, and knowing who you're
right?
saying
this
it to.
This is the very famous, we have learned this, Reb Chaim.
That's in the other shul.
But on the very first, page of the Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi, the Rav's grandfather, he points out that the Rambam is a steer in the Rambam. You know this? We've learned it more than once. Right? There's a steer in the Rambam. One place the Rambam says you need kavana for the whole Amidah. And if you tune out for like one, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy to imagine, but I'm told that it did happen to somebody once.
That they tuned out.
That they tuned out.
That's why the Sabbath happened very, very fast.
Yes, yes. But that they tuned out for like one keta, it's posel the whole tefillah. In another place, the Rambam says, you have to have kavana for the first bracha. You should try to everything, but you have to have kavana for the first bracha. So how do you explain this stira? You can say, l'chadchilen b'di'evet. That's not what Reb Chaim said. Reb Chaim said, you know what this is? Tzvei dinim. Right? There's two operative halachot at play here. There's two types of kavana. There's kavana of knowing what the words mean. How many of the words should you know what it means? All of them. But b'di'eved, if you at least know the first bracha, you're a yotze. What's the example? If you remember this, you remember the example I always give of like the word that people are unlikely to know.
Dvir.
Oh, yeah, fascinating. Dvir is another word that people are unfamiliar with. Ta'aker ut shaber ut mager v'tachni. When I taught high school, we were parent teachers now, and I saw she's no longer a girl. She's more gray hair than I have. She has more hair than I have, but she was in the first year that I taught high school, she was a student in my class, and now we have kids together in school. But so when she was in my class, and I learned the Gemara and Brachot with her, we learned this halacha. I gave this example: Ta'akir with the Shaber with Magir with Tachnia. I said, you won't have the Shmona Esrei, right? You've been doing it your whole life. Ta'akir with the Shaber with Magir with Tachnia. I said, when we have on next week, we're having a test. I'm telling you now, I'm going to give you these four words. I want you to translate them. Zip. Nobody. Right. So what do those words mean? You talk about the malshinim. You talk about the enemies. And we want the ta'aker from oker to uproot them.
Uproot.
Takir with Shaber. From Shever to break them. Takir with Shever. Ut Mager. That's the hard one.
No, Migur HaTerror. Migur HaTerror.
What does that word mean? From what Shoresh is that word?
You put him in a drawer.
Yeah.
No, that's a good guess.
That's if you have a Tochnit Megira for it.
I was thinking, putting them aside, getting them away.
To reduce.
What's a Mager?
Probably like an agricultural term or something.
Yeah. It's like a sieve. You chop them down at the knees. Right? That's where we get the modern Hebrew to wipe them out.
Okay.
Right?
Interesting, where does Magira come from?
A drawer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's they may not be etymologically related. We turn to you. Tune in next week to Balashon.
Well, what next week? We'll go to WhatsApp.
Is Megira meaning a draw an exclusively modern Hebrew word, or is it does it appear in Chazah? I don't know.
Certainly, check it out.
Off the top of my head, I'm not familiar with any pre-modern use.
Megira
meaning a draw.
And get answers.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
Hold
phone me. V'tachnia hachna'a, to bring low. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's one din kavana. The other din in kavana is dalef ne'miyata omeid. How much of the amidah is required to have the consciousness that you're standing before God? The whole thing.
That's what he said.
That's exactly what he says. You know what the Chazon Ish said? Chazon Ish was, you know, not known as a Mako, he said.
You start off
davening. These are my words, not the Chazon Ish's. But he said, that's crazy. That is just crazy. It can't be. Right? It means nobody was ever Yotzei davening. I mean, ever.
Maybe we'll find it.
Right? So, right? He said, it can't be. It can't be that that's the, it's an ideal. It's an aspiration. But it can't be that every time for like one word. I mean, that means that like when you're in the middle of davening, like, you know, you can see there are people davening there in the middle of the Amidah, and they're simultaneously checking their email. They're simultaneously responding to their email. Yeah, right? Yeah. But Nicha. But you're davening. How often does it happen here at 7:40? You're davening, and what? And then suddenly, like, the bell goes off.
That drives me crazy. It's terrible in the summer because
the windows are
open. It's always 20 minutes after the beginning of davening, which is approximately 1 minute into the Amidah, the music starts.
Rabbi Nachman, I think, says it's
a
tried to
daven many a time. Right, so, Rabbi Nachman. So the point is that as soon as that music goes off and you're momentarily distracted,
it's gone.
You blew it all on me.
There's a sect of Hasim that's why when they daven, I forgot which it was. They'll come to me probably the middle of the night, I don't remember.
Come to Miller's Monastery.
By the way, I grew up with them, my neighbors in Elm.
No, but I'm saying that's Rabbi Nachman. That's got nothing to do with Reb Chaim.
It takes him like a really, really long time to daven. I asked him once, why does it take you so long to daven? I was saying, he goes, because we lose Kavana and then we have to get
go
it
back.
Back.
Right.
They don't go back in the daven. So, they just stop where they are, they focus themselves, and then they continue. And they stop and they focus.
So wait, let's go on. We're running out of time. So Laman has kukim le Kavana v'ikuz hadat bebirkat Kohanim. So we know about Kavana in Tefillah. But what kavana do you need for Birkat Kohanim? We're not the Kohanim. We're just there. We're just listening. All you have to do is hear that there's a bracha. What kind of kavana do you need to have?
You have to listen.
But what kind of kavana is it? They're not being motzi. It's not like Kiddush. They're not being motzi us. Because when I come to your house, you have a new house, you should invite me. I'd be happy to come.
You can come to the old house too.
When you invite me to your house and you make Kiddush for me, I'm making Kiddush. Right? In other words, we're both making Kiddush, just you're saying it, I'm piggybacking on you. You're being motzi. That's not what Birkat Kohanim, they're not being motzi us in the bracha, they're blessing us. All you have to do is hear it. Right? If God wants to communicate his blessing through these Kohanim, right? If I'm in it, then I win it. What kind of kavana do I need to do? So kavana amnan chashuva betzfilah ach bebirkat kohanim mativa. What is the nature of the kavana required for birkat kohanim? Hatshuva einat tzricha lifnai velifnim. What does that mean? It's an idiom. You don't need to go deep, right? You don't have to penetrate into the. Kigam bebirkat kohanim ha'am omed lifnei ashchina kimo amitpalel. What's the definition of kavana betzfilah?
That you're standing for
God awareness. So you know what happens during Birkat Kohanim? You're also standing in front of the Shekhinah. And you need that same God awareness. Even though you are not davening at that moment, you are merely the passive recipient of a bracha.
Let's play a little bit of a game here between the Rambam and the Rambam didn't say it was about Shekhinah, and now he's bringing it back to Shekhinah again. The Rambam said it was...
He says, what do you need kavana? What kind of kavana? The kavana that you're in front of the Shekhinah.
I'm saying, so that's not the Rambam, he's kind of combining the different approaches.
Yeah. Umikan sarich mikabel makbil bikavana. We also need to have kavana. Not the kavana of the kind of kavana you have when you're reciting words, and not the kind of kavana you have to have when somebody's being motzi you, but the kavana of... the higher level kavana of dalif nemiata omed. Ma'amad ze kayam b'chol makom. In the mikdash, outside of mikdash. Umimela kavana nechutza b'gvulan kemikdash. And therefore, you need to have the same kavana outside of the mikdash as in the mikdash. Right? Shekein tabziret? Hina amida lifnei shechina. That's why... why is Hilchot Nesiat Kapayim, according to the Rambam, why does the Rambam bundle Hilchot Nesiat Kapayim together with... Now, look, I understand it would be crazy to put Birkat Kohanim in the same chapter as... what?
As Dinim.
Yeah, or as Gira Noshe, right? Right? Obviously, Duchening and... But he could have also put Tefillin in Hilchot Tefillin. When do you put on Tefillin? When you daven. But he didn't. Why does he bundle the Siat Kapayim together with Tefillah? Say it better. Not just because they both require... Why do they both require a Kavana? Because definitionally, when you strip it down to its bare essence, they are both acts of Omed Lefnei HaShechina. והנה בכל מקום שהאדם עומד לפני השם, בכל זמן שהוא מרגיש את זיו השכינה, חובת שירה חלה עליו. You have this obligation to sing out, to praise. כמה פרשיות בתורה הנביאים וכתובים מאשרות יסוד זה? וישראל את היד הגדולה אשר עשה עם השם במצרים, אז ישיר משה בני ישראל, right? This awareness of the presence of God generates this kind of almost knee-jerk reaction to sing out in praise. בכל מקום שאדם יכול להצביע באצבעו ולומר, זה כלי חייב לשיר רוממות השם. זה כלי וענווהו, אלוקי ירים ממנו. Right? The awareness, what is זה כלי וענווהו? What does that mean, זה כלי? What is the זה in זה כלי וענווהו? Right, this kind of sense, like you can point to it. I mean, not obviously you can't point to it. God's not sitting there, like on his. I was talking to my daughter. I don't remember my little girl, my 6 year old. I was saying, are we talking about God like having goof and stuff like that? And I was, because you have to like educate your kids to, to like think in more mature ways about these things. I said, sometimes when you're little, you think Hashem's like an old man with a beard sitting on a throne. Oh no, I say this idea that we talk about him being a melech. When we say he's a melech, in what way is he a melech? Right? When he's a melech, it doesn't mean that he has a crown. Why doesn't this melech have a crown? Because he doesn't have a head to put the crown on. Right? So I said, Hashem's not doesn't really have a goof. If you ever imagined like Hashem sitting like on a throne up in the clouds, it's not really that way. So she looks at me, she says, Abba. I never thought.
Right? Didn't like quote the rabbi and say, "Greater men than you right? thought that."
Beparshat Shmini anu koreim v'teitzei esh milifnei Hashem v'yarkol ha'am. So what does it mean? Zek keli v'anveu. Like you could, like we say, like I think you can almost feel it. You can point to it. You're having like a, like this sensation. V'yaronu. So when the in Shmini, when Nadav and Avihu are killed, the people are aware of this presence. Now, in this case, it's a destructive presence because they get killed for whatever reason they get killed. What is Viyaronu?
It was the same age that also accepted the Korban.
The Korban, right. Viyaronu, singan, obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean they sang a happy song. Viyaronu, Befei Rusho, Lefi Onklus, Vishabchu. They praised God. Even in that tragic incident, the presence of God caused them to praise God. Amru divrei shevach v'oda. Hirtzu shira lefnei ha-makom. Hashem nigla aleihem u'memela hayu chayavim lomar shira. The very presence of God, the very act of God revealing himself requires shira. B'viur mitzvot amirat halel b'yom tov. Hisbir Ramban b'hasagotav al sefer mitzvot. Ki hamechayev hu simchat yom tov. Why do you have to say halel on yom tov? It's an expression of simchat yom tov, the special obligation we have to rejoice. Zikatam neutza be'avoda, ki mahut chavayat ha-simcha hi hargashat nochto shel kadosh baruch hu. On yom tov, you feel God's presence in a bit closer.
You feel you actually have the mitzvah of reiyah.
Right. You have to, right. Asher begina ha-adam margish chofshi u-mushar. Right, that feeling of simcha is that our sense that we are chofshi, that we are free. That's why there's this connection of all of the chagim to Yetziat Mitzrayim. Enenu yirah ve'eno sovel mipachad belailot. Madua omrim halavim shira b'mikdash bechol yom ala korbanot mishum sheshchina shruya b'mikdash. There's the levi'im. The job of the Levi'im was every day to sing the Shira. The Korbanot, the sacrificial order, was always accompanied. It wasn't just to have a soundtrack. It wasn't just like you go into the department store and there's music playing in the background to get you to slow down and buy more stuff. Right? It was the sense that the sacrificial order is this encounter with God, and the encounter with God is always accompanied by Shira. And Shira here being synonymous with Hoda'ah, with what we call Halel, whether it's literally those same prakim or not. Mahu inyan malchiot zichronot v'shofot b'Rosh Hashanah im lo amirat shira lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We feel God's presence on Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Tekiat Shofar is. And the recitation of those psukim is a form of shira.
But it finishes the rough here, because usually we don't say, like, to say that the reason we don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah is not, you know, he's saying we do, we just say it in through,
yes,
through the psukim.
Mostly we don't say, the halal.
No, but say mostly we don't say bechal because the yomdin or matim, and he's saying, no, we do say halal.
No, we don't say halal, capital H.
But
we still have an obligation of shira.
But the shita that says you wouldn't even say halal with a lowercase h, because the din would be matim. He's saying, no, even when you have din, even the damimu, we still have to have some sort of halal.
Vav ze mipnei shashofar misamel gilui shchina v'tkiyato makpila l'knisa l'mikdash. There's in the volume of the Rav's essays Yemei Zikaron. There's an essay there about the sod siach hashofar where he expands on this idea. Ukimvor b'gemara b'Rosh Hashanah shekeren para psula l'mitzvot shofar midin ein kategor nase sanegor mishum dekevan deli zikaron hu mibikim b'fnim dami. That the blowing of the shofar itself is a herald of the presence of God. Just the way that the king walks in and... Hail to the Jehovah. Nimtza ki birkat kohanim mechayevet b'shira. Why? Mishum she'al yada hamitbarchim. That's us. Zochim lemifgash ayin b'ayin in makadosh baruch hu. They bless us. I mean, God is blessing us through them, and it causes this encounter with the divine. Either literally the Shekhinah in the Mikdash, or just the awareness, no different than the awareness we should have during Tfilah of Dalaf Neimiyata Omeid. Hashekhinah nizkeket lemitbarech, v'hu chai et ha'elokim hanochach kan.
This, by the way, is almost like an exact quote from the Hashkafic article that you said came in parallel to the one
about Brachot.
He says the Shekhinah nizkeket lemitbarech is almost like a...
What's the name of that article?
Abrachot
Shebiyadud.
He talks about how the Shekhinah is Yes,
I'm sure that was the Agadic F.
It's almost a quote from
there. Hanitzav l'umato panim keneged panim. Lachen tzarichu liftoach et piv b'shira adira v'lachein ein lahem liyisrael lishair domemim b'sha shehakohanim mivarchim otam kishluchei ha'akel hanimtza b'tzel aron ha'kodesh. Amirat ha'psukim he b'bchinat hasbarat panim l'rabbo. That's the psukim that are listed in the Gemara and Sota. Hoda'a v'shevach l'rabbo mipnei shehu mivarcho mipnei shehofia kan neged avdo. Zehu perush divrei ha-gemara, klum yesh evet shemevarachin oto, ve'ein mazbir panim. The master praises or blesses the servant. The servant's not going to give him a smile. Bebirkat kohanim shebemikdash, kshura ashrat shkina kfula. Aleph, habracha atzma goremet lehofat ha-shkina. Ha-mevarech hu ha-kadosh baruch hu, ha-mitbarchim tzibur Yisrael. Ha-nitzav lefnei Hashem panim al-panim. Ovedet uvdat nochut kvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevarech nechona lagabei birkat kohanim shebemikdash lagabei zu shebegvulin. That's true also outside of Beit HaMikdash. We hear the bracha and we know that it's Hashem blessing us. Bet b'mikdash kfi shekvar huzkar la'ayil yesh nahashrat shechina nosefet. But in the Beit HaMikdash there's an additional element. Because the awareness of God's presence is true even outside of Beit HaMikdash. But in the Mikdash, hotzat hascharet shem ha-mufrad, yud kei vav kei. Bechol makom shemazkirin et Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mufia b'hadar ga'ono. That's when you say, don't look Marian. Bechol makom asher azkirit shmi avo elecha uveirachticha. L'or divreinu machloket ha'amorayim lagabe amirat ha-psukim ke... Aniya al birkat kohanim mitpareshes kemincho. In other words, so why does the Gemara in Sota say this whole tekus of reciting these brachot and responsive brachot is only in Mikdash? If outside of Beit Mikdash we also have dalaf nemiyata omeid, mechayev amirat psukei shir v'shevach hino gilui shchina elish nechlaku l'gabei dargat tagilui v'atnayim bahem hu mechayev. Mand omar echad sover כי יש גילוי שכינה גם בברכת כהנים שבגבולין, פסוקי שיר ושבח נאמרים אף בחוץ למקדש. So according to the Man Domer and the Gemara and Sota, that, I mean, this is not our practice. We don't say these psukim. But there was a shita that those psukim would be recited out of Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because there is this kind of the presence of God. But according to what seems to be, had been the halacha l'maisa, that it's only said in Mikdash. Ve'ilu haman da'omar acher sover ki gilui shechina mechayev b'shir v'shevach. That's only when you really have makom asher etzem kedushatohu, right? The real shechina, right? Who b'china lefnei Hashem. Acha gilui amyuchad shebishat nesiat kapayim eino mechayev b'shira. It's a kind of odd. He ends like on a down note. I should have ended it on this idea that even our Birkat Kohanim today, which we take for granted because we hear it every, it's not like in Ilchus Laretz, in our Birkat Kohanim today, it's still Anachnu Omdim Lefnei Hashem, Anachnu Omdim Lefnei Hashem, VeAnachnu Amid Barchim. Okay, next week we'll go back to the Gemara.